Welcome to D&B College. Today we're taking one top loop and turning it into an old-school style atmosphere in Ableton Live 12, and this is a really useful move, because in drum and bass, especially jungle, rollers, darker liquid, and old-school influence tunes, a top loop can do more than just sit there as percussion. It can become dust in the air. It can become motion. It can become tension. The goal here is not to make the loop sound polished and modern in a clean, mainstream way. The goal is to strip it down, resample it, and reshape it into something gritty, controlled, and rhythmic enough to support your track without fighting the drums and bass. Why this works in D&B is simple. The tempo is fast, the drum pattern is busy, and every detail matters. A raw loop can easily crowd the snare, clutter the hats, or make the whole mix feel messy. But if you transform that loop into a controlled atmospheric layer, it adds movement and density without stealing the groove. That's the sweet spot. So let's build it properly. Start with the right source. Pick a top loop with hats, shuffles, rim ticks, or a break detail. Try to avoid anything with a heavy kick or a huge snare unless you already know you're going to filter most of it away. If the loop already has a little swing or instability, that's actually a good thing. That tiny human wobble gives it character. Drag the loop into an audio track in Ableton Live 12 and turn warping on. For drum material, beats mode is usually the safest starting point. If it feels more like a textured recording than a tight drum loop, Complex Pro can sometimes smooth it out, but be careful, because it can smear the transients if you push it too far. Get the loop locked to the project tempo. Align the first obvious transient to the grid. Tighten the length so it fits a clean 1, 2, or 4 bar phrase. And listen carefully to how it breathes with the track. What to listen for here is whether the loop pulls ahead of the beat or drags behind it. In D&B, that timing detail matters fast. If it's off, don't panic and start editing everything. Often the first fix is just moving a warp marker a little. Small changes go a long way. Once the timing feels solid, strip the loop down with filtering. Put auto filter after the loop and start removing weight. A high pass somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz is a good starting point, depending on the source. If it still feels muddy, push it up toward 400 Hz. If it starts getting too thin, back it off until the body stops disappearing. Then decide what flavor you want. If you want a darker, dirtier atmosphere, leave more grime in the mids and highs. A low pass around 6 to 9 kHz can give you that worn, tape-like, old record energy. That works really well for jungle intros, darker rollers, and more shadowy textures. If you want something brighter and more present, keep more top end open. Maybe low pass around 10 to 14 kHz. That gives you more shimmer and a slightly sharper sense of air. This is one of your first creative decisions, so make it based on the track. If your mix already has bright cymbals and clean hats, go darker. If the top end feels empty and you need atmosphere to carry some sparkle, stay brighter. Next, shape the dynamics. Add compressor or glue compressor after the filter if the loop has random spikes. You're not trying to flatten it into a pad. You're just trying to stop the loud hat hits from jumping out too aggressively. A good starting point is a ratio around 2:1 to 4:1, attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release around 50 to 150 milliseconds, and only a few dB of gain reduction. That's usually enough. What to listen for is the loop becoming smoother without losing its pulse. You want it to feel steady enough to sit behind the drums, but still alive. If the compressor starts pumping in a distracting way, shorten the release or ease off the compression. Now add some grit, put saturator after the compressor and give it just enough drive to roughen the edges. Around 2 to 6 dB of drive is a good place to start. Turn on soft clip if you want the crunch to stay controlled. Then match the output so you're not fooled by loudness. This is where the old school vibe really starts to show up. A bit of saturation gives the loop a worn, dusty character. It thickens the upper mids and makes the texture feel more believable inside a jungle or rave context. What to listen for now is whether the loop feels denser, not harsher. If it turns fizzy or painful, back off the drive and use EQ8 after the saturator to tame a harsh zone, usually somewhere around 5 to 8 kHz. That area can get tiring quickly, especially in a fast D&B arrangement. At this point, you make a choice about function. Do you want the loop to stay rhythm-readable, or do you want to blur it into a texture? If you want it rhythm-forward, keep the loop fairly clear. Light compression, moderate filtering, and subtle saturation will give you a useful upper-layer pulse. That's great for a busy drop or rolling section. If you want more atmosphere, resample the processed loop to audio. Then you can chop it, stretch it, or lightly smear it with reverb or echo. This is especially good for intros, breakdowns, and transitions. And honestly, printing it to audio is a smart workflow move. It helps you commit, move faster, and stop endlessly tweaking the original chain. A really good habit here is to duplicate the track first. Keep one version as the rhythm-readable source, and print a second version as your texture pass. That way you keep options without cluttering the session. Now let's arrange it so it feels intentional. Top loop atmosphere works best when it evolves in phrases. Think in 2, 4, or 8 bar blocks. Start filtered and narrow. Then open it up a little over time. Maybe brighten the cutoff over 4 bars. Maybe reduce saturation slightly right before the drop so the drop feels bigger. Maybe add a little more reverb or delay tail at the end of a breakdown. Why this works in DNB is because tension and release are everything. If the atmosphere stays static, it becomes wallpaper. If it changes with the section, it feels like part of the arrangement. That's the difference between a loop and a production element. Here's a practical way to think about it. In bars 1 to 4, keep it ghostly and filtered. In bars 5 to 8, bring in a bit more detail. On the last bar before the drop, let it bloom slightly, maybe with a touch of resonance or a short tail. Then, when the drop lands, pull it back so the kick, snare, and bass can take the front seat. And that brings us to the most important test. Never judge it in solo for too long. Put the loop back with the kick, snare, hats, and bass. That's where the truth is. What to listen for is whether the snare stays clean and whether the bass still feels anchored. If the atmosphere clouds the snare's core presence, cut more around the mid-range, especially 2 to 5 kHz, or simply turn the loop down. If the bass suddenly feels smaller, the atmosphere is probably too dense, too bright, or too wide. Check mono too. A wide top layer can sound exciting in stereo, but if it collapses badly in mono, it won't survive in a club system the way you want it to. If that happens, narrow it with utility or keep the important rhythmic detail centered. If you want even more movement, you can resample again or slice the loop into smaller chunks. A one-beat or two-beat rearrangement can create fresh motion from the same source without adding any new material. In DNB, tiny edits matter more than people think, because the ear catches repetition quickly at this tempo. For a simple intro atmosphere, a solid stock device chain is auto filter, glue compressor, saturator, EQ8, then reverb. That gives you a stable, dirty, spacey layer. For a more aggressive tension layer, try auto filter, compressor, saturator, echo, EQ8, and utility. That version feels a little tighter and more clipped, which can work really well moving into a drop. A big mistake is leaving too much low mid content in the loop. That's one of the fastest ways to make the mix muddy. Another common mistake is overdoing the reverb. Too much space can blur the snare attack and make the whole track feel less physical. Keep the reverb short and dark. A decay around 0.8 to 2.5 seconds is often enough, and a small pre-delay can help the transient stay clear. Also, don't oversaturate the high end. If the loop gets too fizzy, it stops sounding old school and starts sounding tiring. Controlled degradation is the goal, not full destruction. A strong mindset here is to treat the loop like a supporting actor. It's not there to show off. It's there to serve the track. If you notice that it's making you pay more attention to the hats than the snare, it's probably too bright or too busy. If it sounds amazing in solo but disappears in the full mix, that's often a sign that it needs less filtering, not more. And one more useful bonus tip. Print a couple of versions quickly. One version can stay rhythm readable. Another can be smeared, filtered, or degraded more heavily. That gives you fast/B choices later, and in DNB, that saves a lot of time. So here's the core of the method. Choose a good top loop. Warp it cleanly. Filter out the low-end clutter. Control the dynamics gently. Add some saturation for age and grit. Then arrange it in phrases so it evolves with the track. Finally, always check it against the drums and bass before you call it done. If it feels like a worn, breathing layer that adds pressure, movement, and atmosphere without stealing space, you've nailed it. Now take the mini practice challenge. Use one top loop, keep it to stock Ableton devices, and make two versions. One should work as a filtered, spacious intro atmosphere. The other should be a tighter drop support layer that leaves room for the bass. Bounce both to audio, arrange them in 4-bar phrases, and do the mono check. That's the move. Build it, print it, and trust your ears. If the loop feels like part of the record's DNA instead of a loop sitting on top of it, you're doing it right.